You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, I had one person reach out on Twitter and said, don't change the introduction. So we're going to keep it the same. You know, I didn't know if I need to introduce this anymore. We're over 1,000 episodes. I think people kind of figured out who's who here. But no, I mean, I'm going to be loyal. One person cared enough to tweet us on that and said, just keep
We'll keep it consistent. Consistency is everything. I appreciate it. I appreciate it for a long time. So let's do it. Let's rock with it.
All right, here's what we got today. We are a little breakdown on Caleb Williams Pro Day. I don't think there's really much to talk about there, but we'll kick that around. We've got Mike Williams signing a contract with the Jets. The Jets have gone kind of all in on veteran players, high upside, but some durability questions. Mike Williams, one of my favorite dudes that I've been around with the Chargers for the last 6 years. We'll talk about that for a minute. And then the majority of the episode is going to be your new top five lists. Every single position in the NFL draft, Bucky does top five players at those positions. So he's got an update. And so we'll see what that's all about and have some fun there. But first of all, Buck, Caleb Williams Pro Day, what'd you think?
Look, man, I think it was about as basic and as simple as you can make a pro day for a quarterback who has a lot of hype around him. I think what Caleb Williams did is he hit the ball right down the fairway. He didn't try and do too much. He didn't try and overdo it. He showed people that, as you said, a wellness check. Hey, man, I'm alive. I'm here.
Right here.
We're all like 10 fingers, 10 toes. We still able to do what we need to do. I thought it was good. One thing that stood out to me, and I had actually text last night with someone who is from where he's from and coached against him in high school. And he was like, man, the kid has been the same way since he was in high school in the DMV. Just very calm, very cool, very collected, lots of poise, lots of personality. And I think you saw that during the pro day. The poise to me came in just how easy the game is for him. Just watching him throw, like DJ, I told you, we talked about it. It reminded me of just watching Steph Curry in pregame warmups. Like, it's just easy. He's messing around. He can toss it. We were joking about him thawing on the turf and bouncing it back to himself. But when it came time to showtime, he has all the stuff in his bag. He's just a very talented passer. I think the bigger thing out of it was just his interaction with his teammates, how they kind of have a genuine feel for him. The questions that Caleb Williams has to answer has little to do with football, but more to just do with the person. How is he going to be around the building? How is he going to be with the teammates? How quickly can he handle all the responsibilities of being the face of the franchise? All of those things. The on-field stuff, like, it's going to be hard to knock the stuff outside of his fumble issues in terms of spinning it. He can spin it with the best of them. It's really just the personality and the intangibles.
Yeah, it was just kind of a smooth, easy day. He went out there, let's just go play catch. I was thinking about the difference between when you ask someone, I'll put it this way. When you go on your first date with someone and you're in high school, you got to go shake the dad's hand at the house. Like, hey, I'm going to take it. Just want to introduce myself, Mr. Smith. I'm going to take your daughter out this evening. Okay. There's not a lot of long conversation there. Just a handshake, get to know you, and then you're off. Now, if you're going to ask for someone's hand in marriage and you're going to talk to the parents, then that's a little different conversation. This was just a brief introduction. Hey, how's it going? Go out here, play catch a little bit. Nothing to see here. All the important stuff happened in the 3 days the Bears spent with him and all the reports out there that they had a chance to go over video. They had a chance to go to dinner with him and his teammates, which I think is a good way to do it, to see how he interacts and how they feed off of him. I thought that was valuable. So they got all that they needed from that stuff. I don't think there was really anything they needed from the workout.
No, I think it was all of that. You know, it was all about the interaction. People talk about the interviews at the combine and stuff, and like, it was the first exposure. This is when people really get to know you. When you come to a pro day and you have dinner set up before or after the workout, you get a chance to spend time, significant time with them. This is when you begin to really get a feel for the player and envision how he might be in your franchise, how he would be with your coaches and teammates, his teammates. That's what the Bears were doing. They were doing a fact-finding mission just to see, hey, who is Caleb Williams outside of the game? I think they're pretty confident in what he is between the lines. They want to know who he is outside the lines.
Did you ever do those dinners, by the way, at Pro Days where the team would ask you to go meet with a guy? Did you ever do that?
I did. I did it with the Rockstar SC crew when they had Lindell White and was it Dominic Byrd?
Yeah.
And all of those guys. Man, there were so many guys at the dinner table with the Panthers when we were there. I mean, it was
Deuce Latui.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many people. It was like every position coach and every prominent prospect. I mean, is that this thing? I'm trying to figure out. I can't remember where we ate at. I know it was somewhere down in Marina Del Rey. It was a nice place. But I do remember just that part of it. It was fun, DJ. Like, you know, when you're the scout, when you're the low-level scout, your job is just to eat up all the bread and be quiet, drink the water. Hey, can you pass the tea? This. Just stay out of the way. Stay out of the way. Don't mess it up. But no, it was kind of light. But those things are good because it's a more relaxed environment. And what you're hoping is relaxing the environment allows their true personality to come through and you get a better feel for who the player is.
I did a lot of those dinners when they came through. I've told a bunch of those stories when guys would come through and you're working in-house with the veterans that would come through or the draft picks that would come through for their top 30 visits. So I had a bunch of those dinners. I only remember one night before pro day dinner. And it might have been Bobby Wagner. It was either Utah State or it was Nevada. It was either like Virgil Green. You remember him, the tight end?
Yeah.
It was either him or Bobby Wagner. I can't remember which one, but it was uncomfortable because, you know, other teams are trying to meet with these guys as well. So I had called way ahead of time with his agent. I want to have dinner with him. So we had like 5 o'clock time reserved at the hotel where I was staying. Downstairs, they have a restaurant. We're good. So we go in there. He sits down. Waiter comes over. Take your order. So I'm like, this is on the company. This is on the team. So I'm going to get myself a nice dinner. So I order like a full, you know, salad, main course. Then, okay, next, his turn, the player's turn to order. He goes, I'm good. And I go, dude, this is on me. I got it. Just get whatever you know. I know you got the pro day tomorrow. If you want a salad, whatever you need. He's like, I have 3 more of these dinners lined up tonight with different teams. So I'm like, I'm eating. So I'm just sitting here. He's got no food. I'm asking him questions and just crushing my food. But it never went through my mind that he'd have other teams that he was doing this with. But I think he might have looked at the restaurant and been like, okay, I got 3 dinners. I'm going to eat at the one with this team because we're actually going to a nice steakhouse. I'm not eating at the hotel restaurant. That's not
happening. I'm going to save it. And the funny thing, just knowing scout life, like that meal we've been waiting on all day. we've been waiting on that free
one. A lot of Subway sandwiches led to that meal.
Yeah, we are waiting. We've been waiting on that one all day. We get
a lot of Jimmy John's had to die so that meal could get eaten.
Yeah, we're waiting on the team to put it on. Oh, I'm getting everything. I don't think there's a thing on the menu. You're like, oh, so you want an appetizer? Oh, 100%. We get an appetizer. We get a salad. We get the main entree. Oh, dessert menu. Do you want to see? Yes, absolutely. I want to see it all. And can I get a receipt so I can turn this in, so I can expense this?
Yeah, Benny Thompson, who was with us as a player was a coach, Benny, BT, he was always wanting the free dinner too on the coaching side. So if they were there for 2 nights, I go, Benny, you got him for Friday night, I got him for Saturday night. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to Roost Chris. Where are you going? Like, oh, I'm taking the Fleming's. I'm like, all right, we're good. But we would always do that. And then My favorite one, I've told this many times on here over 1,000 episodes, but it's still my favorite one, which was you wouldn't eat, right? So you could be at the facility. There's free food there, but like you're running around. I'm like, I'm not eating. I got this. I know what's ahead of me tonight. I've got Bob Sanders coming into town, and we are going to crush. A steak. So whether or not he wants to go, maybe he wants to go down and get some seafood down the Inner Harbor, or we're going to go to one of the steakhouses. So I pick him up from the airport and I'm like, hey, man, anywhere you want to go, it's on me. I've got it covered. You feel like seafood, steak, whatever. He goes, I guess I have a Quiznos. Come on, man. I waited all day long. I'm like,
Bob, we can't do Quiznos. Bob.
I'm like, yeah, right next to the facility. We got a Quiznos. Yep. Bob. It was cruel and unusual punishment.
See, but now you know how to lead. Now, if you had to do it again, you know how to lead the prospect. Hey, so
look, I would have given him options.
Few choices. Yeah, yes. You go. Look, we can go to Fleming's. We can go here, there. Which one are the three?
Yeah,
because we're going somewhere, but we're not doing Quiznos.
Yeah, Quiznos. Oh, who is the tackle? Huge tackle from Oklahoma who went to the Saints. Was it Jamal Brown? What was his name?
Jamal Brown. That's Jamal Brown.
I never seen a human throw food like that dude did. I mean, we went to Roost Chris. Buck, he might have had three steaks. He just crushed to the point where I can get reimbursed, but it's still like my own credit card. And I'm like, I don't know if I got enough room on there for this thing, man. It was appetizers, desserts, 2-3 main courses.
It wasn't his first rodeo.
Even though I'm not paying for it. Yeah. Oh, no. He knew. But even though I was going to get reimbursed, when you're poor, as we were during those years, you sit in that restaurant and there's just sweat just pouring down. Like, man, as 70, 140, that's that. Then add another dessert. Oh my gosh. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Do we have the automatic gratuity added to the bill? Is it 20, like you're figuring, you're like, oh, we're getting close.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. That was a lot. All right. Quick thought on Mike Williams with the Jets. Anything there?
Look, man, this is the Jets going all in, and we've talked about this. If you're the Jets, if you're Robert Saleh, you're Jody, you're Aaron Rodgers, you're like, this is the last push. If it's the last push, we got to go all out. We're going to take chances. We're going to sign a player. Look, even though he's coming off an injury, Mike Williams has been a very productive big play receiver throughout his time. And you put him on opposite Garrett Wilson, now you have an opportunity to really cook with gas on offense. It also frees them from maybe having to take a wide receiver early if they feel good about the offensive line. They literally, at the top of the board, they can just take the best player available. And there's some freedom in doing it. And they also could be open for business if someone wanted to get up and they could maybe get some extra picks in that. Mm-hmm. So it just gives them a lot of flexibility, I think.
Let me give you just one, this guy or that guy, which we're going to do a lot of this in the draft as we go there. But as they are constructed right now, and we'll see, maybe the Jets continue to add here. But with knowing who's on that roster right now, Buck, I tell you, you have to pick this player or that player. Say Roma Dunze makes it to them or Brock Bowers. Who would you take?
I'll take Bowers because I can control the middle of the field. I mean, I love a Dunze, but I just think about Aaron Rodgers at his best when he's been able to target somebody in the middle of the field, just a tight end, and how he can just those easy completions. I can see Brock Bowers just doing so much. And because Brock Bowers has that flex ability where he can line up inside, outside, slot, do all that other stuff, I think he'd be a good fit, even though, look, you'd always be hard-pressed to get me to turn down Roma Dunze. Anyway, if he's falling that far, I would have to snatch him up. But
I have a Dunze stacked over him, so I would say I would take a Dunze. And then I would also say, look, now I've got a trio here, which I love, and then if some, Mike has had some injuries over the years. If something happens to Mike, I'm good. It's not gonna crush me. But that could very well be the decision. Talk about trade out, you'd like to, they probably would like to trade back, but you might get stuck. Then you're looking at, do we take an offensive lineman? That's some insurance for some of these older tackles we just brought into the building. Do we take Brock Bowers? Does one of the big three receivers fall to us? If we can't get out, I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I don't think you can go wrong. I love Brock Bowers. I love a Dunze. If that was the choice, I think you're the Jets. I think it's a win-win. You win either way.
Yeah, no, it's a real interesting scenario, because what I didn't think about backstopping the wide receiver position, because you would be backstopping if you take a Dunze, you're backstopping Mike Williams. You're saying, okay, Mike Williams, Odunze, you guys are the three with Garrett Wilson, but next year, Odunze and Wilson, you guys are going to be the show.
Because now we can remove the money. Mike is a one-year deal. It's a one-year deal there.
Yeah, you remove the money from Mike. That money will have to eventually go back to Garrett Wilson because you're going to have to get close to re-upping his deal. And so you still have two young receivers that can grow with whoever the quarterback is going to be down the line. So that might not be a bad plan. Maybe a little short-sighted about taking Bowers, but I just do like Bowers over the middle.
No, I don't think it's the wrong answer at all. I think you can make a strong argument. He's a great player.
Well, I think that's a tough one, boy. I think if you're in the meeting room, both those guys are available. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You might have to pick up the phone and call Aaron.
Hey, who do you want? We're fine. We got the same grades on both these dudes. You know, we got them up there. Yeah. What do you feel more comfortable with?
I mean, you might as well give them a voice. What's going to help us? What's going to help you get us to the tournament? Because we all need to be in the tournament to be able to run this back.
Do you remember? I remember way back in the day when it was the Tony Gonzalez draft. That's how long ago that was. Do you remember they had, what was the guy's name? The Cowboys took a tight end in the first round that year. Big dude.
Yeah. I want to say
Chase LaFleur or something like that. What was his name?
It was because he played at LSU.
Yes. They took him, but that was the Tony Gonzalez year. And I remember Troy Aikman had flown around and worked out. David LaFleur, I thought that was
that
wasn't him. Is that him?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. LaFleur. Yeah. So Troy Aikman had gone and thrown and worked out with those guys. Like, to me, and I'd have to double check on the rules on that. I think you're allowed to do that, right? You could take your quarterback and go throw to guys?
I think way back then it was Wild Wild West. I remember DJ working out like up to the draft, like the day or 2 days before, like working out. So I'm sure.
It might even just be like, hey, maybe the team, I don't know if the team can, how that works, the team can be there with it or not. But I would, you know, I would encourage my quarterback. If I got Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, Aaron, look, I'll tell these tight ends and receivers if the group of them are probably in Arizona, a group of them's probably in LA, a group of them's probably in Florida where these facilities are. I'm like, Aaron, man, you need to get out to these facilities, go throw with all these guys, come back, let me know who you like.
Yeah, I mean, like, why not? Like, why not have him toss the ball around, get a feel for who he likes, who can run some of those routes? Because you remember, this offense is Aaron Rodgers' offense. So some of those routes over the middle field, they may not be like the regular route tree things that you're going to ask the tight end do. Let's see what he looks like getting in and out of some of these things. Do you have a good feel, a natural rapport with him? It's really important. And when you're dealing with veteran quarterbacks, they have a lot of sway in terms of who is on the field. I mean, they just do. Like, when you're a vet in this league, a Pro Bowl player, you have a lot of say. Your opinion matters.
No question. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Bucky's top five has been updated by position. We'll jump into that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All right, Buck, we've got the update here. Going over your top fives, let's rip through them by position here. What do you got?
Here we go. I mean, we just ripped through them. The quarterbacks really stayed the same, DJ. The only change is maybe J.J. McCarthy moving up. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and still keep your eye on Bo Nix, maybe cracking the code and getting up there. I think the thing that I will say is, you and I have talked about this, the conversation between J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and I'll still throw Jaden Daniels, is an interesting one because everyone thinks that we're just making this stuff up on J.J. McCarthy. There is a lot of love in the streets for J.J. McCarthy. The more people get to know him, the more they talk up to him and about what he knows in terms of how to manage that offense, there are a lot of people that are really intrigued. I still think he's a redshirt candidate, see it a year before he plays, but I didn't think that he would be able to close the gap this quickly in terms of being a top prospect, a top 10 prospect that's going to come off the board really early.
Yeah, I think to me it feels like with him, you look at you look at the Giants coming into play at 6. Talked about the Vikings potentially moving up for him from the 11 spot. I think the Broncos, if they cannot really see them moving, but if somehow he were to fall, I would think that would be about as far as that fall would last. But it kind of feels like he's going to end up on one of those three teams.
It absolutely does feel like that. It feels like he is kind of in the conversation. People respect the winning pedigree. And look, you know this happens. People have called around and kind of try to get Jim Harbaugh's real opinion on him. I think that endorsement could go a long way given Jim Harbaugh's success and track record with quarterbacks and what he was able to do previously in the league.
No question. All right, keep it going.
Okay, so running backs, Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Jaden Wright, Blake Corm, and Will Shipley. It remains the same, but I got two new names in there. Jaden Wright from Tennessee jumps in there. It's just a speed factor, man. It's just a speed factor. Straight line player. I don't know how special he is when it comes to balance and body control, but man, the juice is real. He averaged 7.4 yards per carry, led the nation in that. And then I feel like Will Shipley has been one of the most slept on prospects in the draft. When you watched him at Clemson, he was kind of the bell cow of that offense. He can run it, he can catch it, comes out the backfield, has some special stuff to him. I think in a committee situation, this dude's going to have an opportunity to make some plays. I really like him a lot.
I wonder if, where the Chargers, maybe in the third round, if Shipley's there, if Jim Harbaugh sees a little tiny bit of Christian McCaffrey there, you know?
I see that. Like, I didn't
want to. I'm not just saying that he's a white running back, but I mean, of the catch the ball out of the backfield can do some different things. He's not Christian McCaffrey, but you can see some of that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So you try and avoid that comparison because you don't want to do the lazy analysis. Okay, white running back, there's a comparison. Yeah. But
they were both big recruits coming out.
Yeah, coming out of the backfield, man, you can see him do a bunch of different stuff. And having watched Clemson closely over the past 2-3 years, he was kind of the straw to stir the drink on offense. He can make it happen. He can tote the load. He's quick. He's dynamic. Great balance and body control. Really good player. In fact, I have him 5th, but you know, you saw the MJD and some of the other guys that play the position. They love what he brings as a balanced running back with all the other stuff coming out the back. He's a terrific player.
One quick thing on the running backs, then we'll move on. This is the position, and talking to people around the league, that with the most variance. First of all, nobody thinks it's a great class. Nobody thinks there's anybody that's a top first-round pick or top 40, top 50, whatever you want to put that number at. But I'm telling you, like, there's teams that'll have their number one running back, like how they like him. And again, this is like talking to GMs, decision makers, personnel directors to be like, hey, you know, who do you think are the top group of guys? And they'll go, well, to me, we kind of like this guy the best where we are right now in the process. And you talk to another team, that guy might be 8th. Like it's just a hodgepodge.
And that explains why the veterans went off the board quickly in free agency. You think back to previous years on free agent frenzy, we never talked about the running backs really on first day. Boy, the clock struck. Bing, 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 bing. All of those running backs flew off the board. And I think it's a little bit of an indictment on the 2024 class and the lack of what I would call like that bell cow running back being present in this group.
All right, tight ends.
You know, when we go to tight ends, it's really the same. It's Brock Bowers and everybody else. Yep. And the thing about Brock Bowers is we just talked about him being a flex tight end that can do everything. The other guys, Jatavion Sanders, I think people have to understand after the combine, they talked about his speed, but what he does is still applicable. He still can do it on the field. He's a good job running the seam. The guy who made some noise for me would be Theo Johnson. Just the combine workout, being able to do it.
He had a good Senior Bowl too.
Yeah, it's just looking at the position and just kind of recognizing that sometimes the athletic traits can lead to success at the next level.
All right. What do we got next here? Wideouts?
Okay, so I got wideouts, but I got two different categories. So I got wideouts, and then I did what we did in the scouting room. I created slot receivers.
There we go.
So nice. My wideouts are, look, it's standard fare, right? It's Harrison, Adunze, Neighbors, Coleman, Thomas. I say keep an eye on Troy Franklin, but there are other guys. Eddie Mitchell is in the conversation or whatever. But slot receivers is where I kind of want to spend time. You can help me sort through some of this. So my slot receivers, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall, Roman Wilson, Malachi Corley from West Kentucky, and Malik Washington from Virginia. I also denoted Jacob Cowling from Arizona. Of those guys, DJ, I like them all. And you had a chance to see them all. McConkey, Pearsall, Wilson, they were all, I think, down at the Senior Bowl. Corley from Western Kentucky is a guy who has a lot of buzz in terms of being a guy that is pretty dynamic with the ball in his hands.
He's a run after catch dude.
Do all that other stuff. When we think about the game, and you were just talking about it earlier with the Jets and 11 personnel, three wide receivers, you kind of have to have one of those slot receivers that can get down in the new offense, someone that can do the little stuff and get busy. I like this class of slot receivers because there are a lot of guys that can give you contributions in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, I have, going through mine here, I have McConkey would be my top slot. Pearsall would be number two. Corley, three. Wilson, four. Those would be my top four. And then I would probably have, Jacob Cowing next on there. Okay. So smaller slots. That's not, I mean, because there's other, like, Jalen Polk could probably be bigger slot. Keon Coleman might end up being a bigger slot, you know. So there's some, I'm just saying, like the traditional slot guys.
No, but the thing is, like, so we're in the right thing, we're in the same neighborhood, because the six guys that I mentioned are the six guys that you had ranked in your top 50. Now the order's only flipped in Wilson and Washington and those guys, but that you're gonna get some of that. I think we're fishing in the same pond though, and that's really important when we talk about the early guys. I wanted to open up with slot receivers because I felt like, DJ, sometimes the way the game is changing, when you use traditional positions, you end up leaving a lot of names on the cutting room floor. And I wanted more names to kind of populate it. Let's go to offensive tackles. And this is another one, man. There's so many guys. Like, I feel like in the future, we're going to have to talk about right tackles and left tackles. And before, we never did that. But Joe Alt, Huaga, Pushanu, Amarius Mims, J.C. Latham. Then I have Fatanu from Washington. But, man, look, there's so many guys that you're still leaving out.
That
could be first round picks and those things. Guyton, you know, like they're just so good. Graham Barden, whether you use him at inside guy or as an outside guy, there's just so many names that you can bring up at those positions.
I almost wonder, like, with some of these linemen, if you don't have, you know, there's some guys, it's like they're going to be rights. There's some guys that are going to be lefts, even though we say, you know, look, they're equally valuable now, but some guys are just more comfortable on one side or the other. Then you have swings, you know, like play either side, depending on what you need. And then I also think there's just kind of like some of those versatile pieces. Like, to me, the two most valuable offensive linemen in this draft are Graham Barden and Troy Fatanu. Cause I think those are five position players. Like, they literally could play any of the five positions on the offensive line.
They absolutely can. And that versatility really, I mean, look, it really pays off when you just think about being able to get in and out of jams. I think what Elijah Vera Tucker and what he's been able to do.
That's who he was coming out. And I think Fatanu is a better version of Elijah. And I love Elijah Vera Tucker.
And think about how valuable he's been for the New York Jets.
He's been great playing left tackle, right tackle, guard, you name it.
There's value in having that guy. And so since we're speaking about Barden, let's talk about the interior guys. Graham Barden, Jackson Powers Johnson, Chris Haynes, Cooper Beebe, Zach Zinner are the guys that I kind of have up there. Look, man, I think the conversation over JPJ, people talk about Jackson Powers Johnson, highly decorated recruit, came in, played really well at Oregon. I think the thing for everybody is where do you take that interior position? We've seen guards and interior guys get paid more. Centers are still kind of like a quirky thing in terms of when you select them, how much you want to pay them or whatever. Like, what's your take on JPJ?
I like him. He's a power center, you know. He's going to be like an anchor setter in the middle. I don't think he's going to be quite as nimble on the second level stuff. He's just a bigger dude. But if you want to maul people and move people, Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic used this term when she was talking about the Rams and how they changed their offense from being a zone team to being a power team. And she used the phrase to wall and maul. Like, we want to be a wall and pass protection, and we want to maul people in the run game. And that's kind of what the Rams, how they transformed their offensive line, more gap, more duo, all that stuff.
They had to, because they were getting whooped. You know what I'm saying? When people started putting the bigger bodies at a point of attack, and even though you want to move and run and all that, man, big bank takes little bank. The bigger guys wear you out at the point of attack. And as these defensive tackles are huge, but also athletic, you can't get away. And I think the lesson for me is, man, the kid that the Minnesota Vikings took from NC State, who we loved his athleticism, the center. Remember the center from
State? I always call him the Grim Reacher. I call him the Grim Reacher.
Yeah, like, DJ, you remember how
Bradbury, Garrett Bradbury.
Remember how good he was as a prospect, but then, man, he couldn't get on the field because they were abusing him at the point of attack. I think you have to have a heavier, thicker, stouter center now just to counter some of, I mean, look, you put Dexter Lawrence over top of some of those guys, night-night, because you can't do anything with them. I think you are seeing a shift to the wall and maul types.
It's a great phrase. I told her I would give her credit. I'm going to probably, I'm probably going to forget to credit her along the way as I adopt this into my scouting lexicon, but I did give her a shout out here. I make sure on social media, now we've officially done it on the podcast. This is Jordan Rodrigue's phrase. She does a great job covering the Rams, by the way. Yeah. And that was, that's one that I'm stealing. So I'm upfront about that. We've got to crank up the time, Buck, because we've got another thing we've got to do here at the top of the hour. So let's roll through the defense.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Let's go. Defense, edge players, Dallas Turner, Latu, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Braylon Trice is still up there. Look, for me, the pass rushers didn't change. The only guy that I would say that can throw in there, I haven't listed with the D tackles, Darius Robinson from Missouri. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some interest in him. The Cam Jordan comparison may kind of stay with him, because I remember watching Cam Jordan at Cal.
Yeah.
I think he was a good player, but not being excited, not being able to anticipate that he would have the pass rush presence. I think Darius Robinson has that ability to kind of go from being a guy that has really been inside for most of his career to being outside and being effective in the National Football League as a guy that can give you some pass rush presence.
Yep. No, he's done a good job. I think he's more comfortable on the outside as a bigger guy. I would say Nealon would be the other one that would be in the mix for you as we come down the home stretch here. He probably just behind that group.
He is. Defensive tackles, look, Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy, Chris Jenkins. I told you I had Robinson and Devondre Sweat. Look, the guy that I'm missing is the Florida State kid. And it's kind of hard when you're trying to figure out where to put him there. I will say this. His combine certainly woke up a lot of people on him. Then when you match the tape with what he was able to do on the turf, he's going to have a chance. We talked about early, talk about being in your top 50. He's going to be in the mix. He's going to come off within the first 50 selections of the draft.
I agree with that. What we got next?
Linebackers, Edrian Cooper, Peyton Wilson, Jeremiah Trotter, Cedric Gray, and Junior Colson. The mover for me is Peyton Wilson. The medical thing is everything, how he clears out, how teams check him out. That performance that he put on at the combine, it's funny. You can look at the tape and you're like, man, this dude plays fast or whatever, but he can't be fast. And then he verifies it. And what the combine does is it might change the conversation a little bit, right? You may have coaches and stuff advocating like, hey, I know the medical, but hey, Answer me this.
If he had never been hurt a day in his life, off of his tape and his workout, where does he go?
Oh, he's first round. He's first round.
All day. All day.
He has all the stuff. He when you watch him play, he plays exactly how you should play the position. His hair is on fire. He's instinctive. He's physical. I like the fact that he has a little nastiness and he's kind of ornery on the field. This dude is a legitimate big time player. You just got to be comfortable with whatever the medical is. He should be a first round talent.
You know who he plays like and really truthfully tested like is Ryan Shazier when Shazier was coming out of Ohio State. Ooh, and Shazier, before obviously the terrible injury, was an unbelievable player. That's the kind of ability this kid has. He's a first round pick. I'm struggling with it. I'm like, do I just say screw it? Because there's nothing worse than thinking a guy's a first round player. And then, you know, I'm not a doctor, but you know the history of the injuries and you hear the teams. And then I'm going to watch this guy tear it up for the next 5 to 7 years and go like, I knew this guy was good. And I just let the medical, you know, impact me.
Yeah, he's just, man, he's even better than I thought. When you go back and watch him, he just makes every play and the effort is always at a high level. But more important than that, DJ, he is always around the ball. You look at his stats. Yep. I mean, it's just a ridiculous amount of production in a bunch of different categories.
Impact plays.
I mean, just all over the place. So yeah, he is a first round pick. Let's go to cornerback. Taron Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Enos Rakishaw, cracks the code. Quinyon Mitchell is the one that has been the highest riser. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm getting close. Like, people talk about, do you flip the card? Do you put him at number one? He's done all the things. He's checked all the boxes along the process. The regular season, you watch him in the Senior Bowl. You watch him at the combine. He's big, fast, physical. He has a bunch of production. He plays well. I don't know. Maybe I'm still holding on to the brand name of Alabama and Arnold. But the Toledo kid is exactly what you talked about months ago. Because you brought his name up months ago before people really started talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's legit, man. He is just a legit big time player.
Yeah, I still have Arnold one and I have Mitchell two. But if you were going to ask me who do I think goes first, I think Mitchell's going to go first.
The Cards
are 4-3-3, Buck, coming off of an unbelievable week at the Senior Bowl. They had a great workout.
The Cards are touching on the board. The Cards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're right next to each other.
They're bumped.
Now, I know, I thought Taron would run a little faster. He, at the pro day, ran 4.5 flat again. But it is, the comp to me was Jalen Johnson, and they ran the exact same time. Jalen Johnson just got $20 million a year. So yeah. He's legit, and he is an easy mover, man. Like, his shuttles and all that stuff, you saw those times that posted, were ridiculous. And he's got ball skills. Obviously, Mitchell has a gear, you know, that he can access. That's a little different. So that's why I think he will end up being the first corner.
Yeah, he's interesting. So let's go to slot corner. So nickel corners created this category. So I got Cooper Jejean from Iowa, Mike Sanristil from Michigan. Yeah, Max Melton, Kamari Lassiter, Daquan Hardy are the guys that I put in that nickel category. And it's funny because sometimes these guys will play slot early in their career, then bump out their last career. I just believe now, and you know, when we were leaving the league, it was just beginning to get popular to put the nickels on the board in their own category. Now you have to count that guy as the 12th starter. You have to have someone that has a special skill set to play in the slot. There are a lot of interesting names. Kamari Lassiter is one that stands out to me just because he's big. He can play outside, but he also has a history of playing inside.
Yeah, the Lassiter one's tricky because I love him as a player. And to the point where I thought he had a chance to go in one. He ran 4.6. He ran 4.6. And so
I'm trying not to be
influenced. But the guy's a good player. He's tough. He can play the ball. I think he's going to have to play inside. He's not going to be able to hold up outside. But I remember Casey Hayward is one.
Casey did not run well. Played a long time.
Did not run well. Jordan Lewis, I think, was he coming out of Michigan or whatever with the Cowboys?
Yeah,
he was 4.5s.
Yeah, so the thing about it, if the cornerback isn't fast, his technique has to be pristine, because what can happen, your technique can allow you to kind of limit the exposure that you have in terms of athleticism. You learn how to work cutoff angles. You know how to play the ball. You know how to kind of put yourself in a position where you're never vulnerable. Kamari Lassiter's private workout will be important because you need to see where he is with his toolbox. And will that give him a chance to kind of overcome some of the physical deficiencies that he may have?
One of the things I'm doing if I'm scouting the Southeast or if you're a general manager, I'm talking to my Southeast scout. I need you to go spend a day at Georgia, not during pro day, on your own right now in the spring. Get with the coaches. I need you. Hopefully you have done a good enough job developing relationships in that building that you can get somebody who can give you practice tape of one-on-one. And I want you to go back. Think about this now. We saw Ladd McConkie run 4.39. We saw A.D. Mitchell, who was at Georgia previously, ran 4.33, 4.35, something stupid like that. So there's practice video of him in one-on-ones working against real legit speed. And I want to see all of it
It's funny that you bring that up about practice tape. They tell me that part of the reason Trayvon Walker was viewed as a pass rusher came from watching practice tape, watching his one-on-ones, watching the explosiveness that he displayed and doing it. So even though he didn't have the production in game, when you looked at the practice tape, you could see the traits that would lead to the production in game.
Was Stingley. Remember Stingley?
Derek Sanders.
Watching Stingley versus Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I got that. I got that practice footage in this role. I can't imagine every team had it. That stuff's huge.
Look, it's everything. So let's finish it up with the safeties. Yep. Tyler Newman, Javon Bullard, Kalen Bullock, who you talked yesterday about potentially being a corner. Cameron Kitchens, who ran slow at the combine, another one. And then Tyke Smith from Georgia. The safety position kind of stays the same. I think it really depends on what you're looking for. Do you want the guy that's in the middle of the defense deep, or do you want someone who can be a split safety who can also drop down and play nickel? Some of these guys have been comfortable playing in a slot. I think the new term that they use in college is the star position, that hybrid nickel safety corner that can be involved in the running game and cover occasionally. Some of these guys that are listed as safeties have experience playing in that star role.
Yeah, to me, my top two guys at that position right now are Newman and then Javon Bullard from Georgia. And Bullard can play in the nickel. He can play in the deep half, or you can play him in the nickel. So that's those are the top two guys for me. And then there's a little bit of a level down. And then you get that whole group of other guys where you have Cam Kitchens in there. You have Cole Bishop. Kalen Bullock, again, maybe he's a corner. The guy to me that's kind of in that clump of players that I think is going to be the best value of all these safeties is Dominique Hampton from Washington. He's big. He's 215 pounds. He's 6'2". Oh, yeah. He's a six-year player, but he's a good player. I think that's like a fourth-round pick you'd love.
So here's the thing about Washington. We talk about not scouting the helmet, but you understand legacy and tradition. Just think about all the DBs that have come from that program that have had success in the National Football League. Even though Jimmy Lake was there for a long time and then left, like that blueprint, that model, like that, it worked for a long time. You can never turn down those guys that come from there just because they've been so well-schooled, so well-trained, so well-taught that they're going to have a chance to have success no matter when they're drafted.
No doubt. All right, well, this has been fun today. By the way, I think the ball that Machado hit just landed. Anyways, it was a fun episode today. I feel refreshed. It's something about waking up at 3 a.m. and watching the pods score 15 runs. I feel like $1 million. I'm gonna probably have to go to bed at 5 o'clock tonight after getting up that dang early. But that's it was fun. All right, Buck. We got to get out of here. Appreciate everybody hanging with us. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.